inorganics.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you, organizers. My talk is on experimental study of organic materials, two-dimensional organic materials, and mode physics. They are my collaborators. These two postdocs are the main players of the work, which I'm going to talk about now. Outline of my talk is divided into two parts. One is the half-filled case, and the second one is the doped case. In half-filled case, the low energy physics and the high energy physics, it's very contrasting. In the doped case, mode transition in a metallic state. These are high energy quantum criticality, and then mode transition in a metallic state might sound strange, but I'd like to explain the heart of this physics. Okay? Molecular materials looks like this, and very large molecule condensated into the solid. And two important points about the organic materials. One is the electronic structure is very simple because the tight binding approximation of the molecular orbitals are very effective to describe the electronic structure. And in several materials, the form surface is a very simple cylindrical cylinder, which is proved by the Duhas von Alphen experiments. And the second important point is they're highly compressible because the binding between all the molecules van der Waals flows, so highly compressible. So you can easily control the bond radius by applying pressure. And the materials which I'm going to talk about is the copper 82X. This is a layered structures, a conducting layer here, and insulating layer here. It's this thin insulating layer plays a role of the block layer as in high density plates. And this is the implant structures. Briefly speaking, that the lattice structure is modeled to anisotropic Tunney lattice, which is characterized by two kinds of transfer integrals, T and T prime. And the anisotropy of the transfer integrals T prime over T is varied by changing the insulating anion. Yeah? And also the U over W or U over T is also varied by changing the anion. So these two materials are mode insulators at ambient pressure, but other members are metal, and the superconducting transition is observed at low temperatures. So these family of materials are on the verge of the mode transitions. And another important point is this anisotropy also changed by changing, replacing the anions. And this material is nearly triangular, carries a nearly triangular lattice, but the second mode insulator has deformed the triangular lattice. Okay, so let's see the two mode transitions with different frustration. Okay, this is the NMR spectra at ambient pressure. This deformed triangular lattice material shows a clear line splitting in proton NMR, and this is a clear indication of the magnetic ordering around 27 Kelvin. However, the triangular lattice material doesn't show any change of the NMR line shape down to 32 millikelvin. Which is four orders of magnitude lower than the exchange interaction, which is 250 Kelvin. So we concluded that the spin leakage is realized in these materials, as Patrick introduced in his talk morning. Okay, this is a phase diagram. And antiferromagnetic mode insulators shows the first order mode transition as a temperature pressure here. And also, the spin leakage materials shows a metallic state and the superconducting state under pressure. And a contrasting feature is the slope of the Mott boundaries. This slope tells you about the entropy balance between across these boundaries, the entropy here and the entropy here. The positive slope tells you that the entropy in the left-hand side phase is larger than right-hand side. This is very reasonable. The spin is still alive in this material. But in this case, the spins charge are localized and the spins are also localized, short range order, and then the long range order here. So entropy is lower than the metric states. So it's a spin liquid and an antiferromagnet. And the difference of the spin states are reasonable and reasonably reflected on this phase diagram. OK. So today, I'd like to review the profile of the Mott transitions. First, I'd like to show you the low temperature properties, so the low energy physics, and then switch to the high energy physics of the Mott transitions. Okay, first here. Okay, this is the resistivity profile as functions of the pressure and temperature. And this is the deformed triangle lattice, an antiferromagnetic Mott transition from the antiferromagnetic Mott insulator to the metal and the superconductivity. You see, yeah. In this big graph, I'd like to stress that this Mott transition from the antiferromagnetic state is a very strong Mott transitions. And this is the critical element here, and temperature, pressure. And below the critical critical endpoint, you see a very huge jump in resistance, maybe two or three orders of magnitude. It's a very strong first order transitions, very strong Mott transitions, M antiferromagnetic state. But and spin rigid materials, what you see is the weak Mott transitions. This is a phase diagram. This is a resistivity as function of temperature. And at several pressures. At low pressures is insulating, but this gap, charge gap, is gradually diminished, and then eventually the system undergoes a transition to the metal. And this is a metallic state and superconductivity occurs. And but in between the insulating states, the spin liquid insulating state and the metallic state, you see plateau in resistivities as a function of temperature, and also some plateau as a function of pressures at fixed temperatures here. So this is a three-dimensional, two-dimensional plot, pressure and temperature. This is Fermi, maybe Fermi C, okay, Fermi liquid C here. And this is the spin liquid Mott insulator here. And in between, there is like a Tabula Mesa, a plateau region here. This is the this seems characteristic feature of the Mott transition from spin liquid. This feature is roughly reproduced by the theoretical investigation of the quantum Mott transition from a spin liquid here. This is a controlling parameter, maybe correlation and temperature. And in these regions, the theory predicts that the resistivity is flat here. So I think that the Mott transition from a spin liquid is very weak. Weak. That is a clear difference from the Mott transition and antiferromagnetic state. Okay. Why weak Mott transition and spin liquid? This is a simple-minded, the sort of the simple-minded experimentalist, okay, and the antiferromagnetic magnetic background, the Hollandaubron excitation costs more than and the spin liquid background, the singlet background, and in different viewpoint, if the spin on frame surface is there in the Mott insulating states. Its Mott transition is described by the change from the spin-on FMC to the electron FMC. In this case, the transition is maybe weak compared with the transition from non-film surface to the electron film surface, as seen in anti-ferromagnetic states. Okay, anyway, more sophisticated theoretical studies are performed by these literatures. Okay. Okay, let's see the metallic states nearby the MOT boundary. And NMR relaxation data here, 1 over T1T as a function of temperature. And this data shows the relaxation rate as a function of temperature in the metallic state nearby the anti-ferromagnetic MOT insulating phase. In that case, below 30 Kelvin, the system is metallic here. But TC here, so you see the 1 over T1T shows a very substantial decrease below 20 Kelvin, which is roughly approximately twice of TC. And we call it, this is a pseudo gap. TC is here. However, the metallic state nearby the gapless spin liquid doesn't show pseudo gap. This is the 1 over T1T is constant. And, TC is 3 or 4 Kelvin in this case. And down to TC, 1 over T1T is essentially constant. So the difference is very clear. The pseudo gap in the metallic state nearby the anti-ferromagnetic MOT insulator, but no pseudo gap nearby the gapless spin liquid. OK. Let's see the pseudo gap behavior in more detail. This is the Let's see this behavior as function of the pressure. This is phase diagram. This red line is a first order MOT transition. MOT insulator here in the middle, and the superconductor here. In this case, the TC is 10 Kelvin. 10 Kelvin is a high TC. In our community, okay. You see, at high pressures in this, for example, this 100 megapascal, 1 over T1T is roughly constant. It's collinear relation. But the system, as the system approaching the MOT boundaries, relaxation rate is enhanced. And then pseudo gap becomes prominent. So I think that the pseudo gap is a manifestation of the depression of spin excitations on the verge of the MOT transitions. And this system is a half Hilbert case. So the MOT transition occurs when the pi-pi spin fluctuation is strong. So we think it is reasonable to consider that this enhancement of 1 over T1T is enhancement of the pi-pi fluctuations. And then, if so, the spin pseudo gap is a manifestation of the depression of the pi-pi fluctuations. But this is the night shift. Night shift does also change. So this means this pseudo gap is it occurs in the dynamical channel, 1 over T1T, not in night shift. Okay, there is some theoretical suggestions. This is the Cantor Monte Carlo for Hubble model, and they calculated the spin fluctuation profile as function of U over T over W, and this is a metallic state, also this metallic state. And less frustrated system, in that case, even in the metallic states, the pi-pi fluctuations are enhanced, okay? In frustrated case, as M at the spin liquid phase, and the pi-pi correlation is not enhanced. So it's very reasonable, considering the experimental data. And another interesting suggestion from Sirori is the pseudo gap formation in a k-dependent model. Okay, this is the pi-pi fluctuation is strong, and in that case, the spectral weights disappears on these portions But this portion, these portions, around here and here, there is a finite spectral weight. So K-dependent gap opening is suggested. So this can be our origin of the silicate, namely pi-pi fluctuations is enhanced at high temperature. But at low temperatures, these pi-pi fluctuations are depressed. So silicate gap may be related to some anti-Fermionic fluctuation. However, this silicate gap is also related to the superconductivity. Outer critical field of organic materials is very low. For example, if you apply magnetic field perpendicular to the layer, you can completely kill the superconductivity by 15 tesla or something like this. Okay, this is the 1 over T1T at several magnetic fields. Okay, at low fields, the silicate gap is very prominent, but at 15 tesla, the superconductivity, bulk superconductivity, is almost killed. And silicate gap is also killed. And the left-hand side figure shows the field angle dependence of the NMR relaxation rate. If you apply magnetic field parallel to the layers, the superconductivity still survives and the silicate gap is clear. But if you rotate the magnetic field perpendicular to the layers, and the superconductivity, bulk superconductivity, is suppressed, and then also silicate gap is recoupled. So this shows that the silicate gap is also associated with the superconductivity. So please remind yesterday's talk by Maurice Rice, and maybe this observation is closely, I think, closely related to the such a scenario. So silicate gap is related to the anti-ferromagnetic fluctuation and also the superconductivity. Okay, let me switch to the high energy physics here. So far we are talking about, I was talking about the physics in these regions, okay, at high energies. This is the very well-known cartoon to explain the quantum criticality of the heavy forming systems, namely competition between Kondo and RKKY, and quantum criticality appears at low temperature here. In a case, in a MOT system, the computing energy is U and W, both of the order of the several thousand kelvins. And different from the heavy electron systems, the transition in a case, namely MOT transition, is first order. However, the critical endpoint is 20 kelvin or 40 kelvins, at a much, much lower than the computing energy scale. So there is vast energy scales between the first order transition point and then the computing energy scales. So why not a quantum criticality in these energy scales? And in reality, theoretical study using the single-sided DMFT suggested in this crossover regions, well above the critical endpoint, the conductivity should show the quantum critical scaling. This is a theoretical calculations of the conductivity, and then the calculation shows a very clear quantum critical scaling and resistivity. Okay, so we did the same thing in experiments. Okay. The following is what we did. Temperature and pressure, and we fixed the temperature. And then the pressure was swept. But to examine the scaling relations, we should have the many, many data. So we should control the pressure nearly in a continuous manner. So we used the helium gas pressure. So at each temperature, the pressure is swept. And this is the data. at different temperatures, the resistivity is monitored like this. And then this inflection point is defined as a crossover pressure, and then the pressure is normalized to this point. Okay, then the particle axis resistivity is also normalized. And this is scaling. And by this scaling process, we know the exponent z nu. Z nu is 0.6. The material is the spin liquid material here. And if you take the horizontal axis T temperature as a horizontal axis, this the whole data is mapped onto the two universal curves. This is experimental data, not calculations. And okay, these experimental data are successfully scaled to the insulating branch and the metallic branch. And but the scaling is successful only for high temperatures well above 1.5 TC. Below these temperatures, the effect of the finite critical endpoint. This critical endpoint TC affects the resistivity behavior. So scaling fails below TC, but well above the critical temperatures. And you have the beautiful scaling. So quantum critical scaling is successful. And this normalized resistivity plotted and this in a range of color like this. So the critical region here, and this black dot represents the crossover, the rhythm line here. Okay, and if you take the difference of the pressure from this crossover pressure rhythm line, rhythm point, in that case, it's you can get it, this phase diagram temperature versus pressure. It's this is a typical phase diagram of the quantum critical behaviors as seen in heavy electron systems like this. So I'd like to say that at high temperatures, there's MOT transition show the quantum critical behaviors. Okay, this is scaling, and the one important point of the scaling behavior is a nearly perfect Miller symmetry. Resistivity is nearly perfect, okay? And at low temperature here, it's you see the deviations because at low temperatures, system condensate to the MOT insulating state with clear gap, or in the metallic side is a system should show the film liquid system go to the film liquid state. So this is deviations film liquid, the deviation to the film liquid, and this is the gapped MOT insulators. Yeah. But this in the quantum critical regions, the empirical or experimental scaling law shows completely nearly complete Miller deflected formula. Okay. We did the same thing for another materials. So for the materials is this spin liquid materials is we also the same measurements. We did the same measurements for this anti-ferromagnetic MOT insulators, and so these materials also show the Miller like scaling plot, scaling relations. Okay, so this is the summary of the half field band case. In the low temperature, this is the low energy physics. At low energy, system has a variety of the emergence, a variety of condensates depending on the degree of frustrations. And frustrated ladder systems, in that case, the spin liquid and the superconductivity you have, but the TC of superconductivity is low compared with the other case. But the mode transition, in case of from the mode transition from the anti-ferromagnets, in that case, mode transition is very strong compared with this one. Strong mode transitions, and then high TC and sill gap. Yeah. So the low energy physics have contrasting features. Now, on the other hand, at high energy physics is very similar, irrespectively of the degree of the frustrations. Okay. Okay. Let me switch to the doped case. Most of the organic materials has a half-field band, okay, half-field band or quarter-field band, and we have some exceptional materials. This is one example. This is non-stoichiometric materials. The content of anion has a non-stoichiometry with respect to the content of the ET layers. And this content is determined by chemistry, so we cannot control, or we cannot vary the content. So this missing content from 3 plays a role of the whole doping. In this case, 11% hold is doped to the most insulating states. So this is the U over W and the band filling is half filling here. So this materials is situated here. 11% doped. And this is a pressure dependence of the whole coefficient. Okay, many data, so busy data. So please take a look at only the low temperatures, the 10 Kelvin whole coefficient data. So a low pressure, the whole coefficient is large and then steeply decreases and then some kink or some breaks around 0.5 or 0.6 GPA, and then, and this value is roughly correspond to the one hole per dimer. So in these regions, the system may be a conductor of with large film surface. In this case, maybe the carrier is very small. Small number of carriers, so this means that the doped hole conductor. So doped hole conductor to large from surface conductor is a change, phase change, of course. I think that this is the kind of the Lipschitz transitions, I think. Anyway, so around 0.5 Kelvin, and what occurs around 0.5 Kelvin is a criticality, critical change of the double occupancies, maybe. So modness change, of course. This pressure. Okay, let's see the superconducting properties as function of pressure. This is the characteristic. Please remember that it's 0.5 GPA is a characteristic pressure for the modness, double occupancies. And low pressure regions, superconductivity is incomplete, but TC and NTC is low, but and as pressure is increased, the TC is going up, and the boiling fraction is increasing. And then above 0.5 GPA, the superconducting boiling fraction is full, and then but the TC goes down. So superconducting dome is formed against pressure like this. Yeah, this is inhomogeneous superconductivity. And this is the temperature dependence of resistivity, normal state resistivity. At low temperature, at low pressure side, the resistivity is a non-film liquid like a behavior, T-linear or. And then at high pressures, it's a film liquid like region appears. And this is a logarithmic plot. It's a crossover, you see, a crossover from the non-film liquid to film liquid. So this is a plot of the local exponent of resistivities, and the exponent 2 is a film liquid region here and non-film liquid region here. So such a non-film liquid appears around the superconducting dome, and this is out-of-plane resistivities, and the pressure scale is parallel here, so 1.5 GPA, 1.5 GPA. Okay, in the left-hand side of the dome, the out-of-plane resistivity is large, so very highly two-dimensional, but some breaks occurs in the pressure dependence of the out-of-plane resistivities. It's here, So highly two-dimensional and moderately two-dimensional. And this is temperature dependence in these regions, and non-metallic residuity behavior you see. But in these regions, the metallic behavior, so residuity. And in the whole pressure regions, the implant residuity is metallic. Okay. So this means that in these regions, it's two-dimensional, carrier is confined two-dimensionally. The manner, and this is the confinement. So the confined crossover occurs around here, and then two-dimensional, but highly two-dimensional here, and the moderately two-dimensional here. Cause. So all of the change in all the properties occurs around the critical pressure, 0.5 GPa. So this is a phase diagram, and this is the small Fermi surface doped Hall conductor. Changes to the large film surface conductor here. This is what occurs on here is the critical change of the double occupancy. In this sense, I'd like to say this is a mode transition in the heart of the mode physics in the metallic states. Okay, and please take a look at the high TC cube plates and please compare that. This material is here. This is the Motness criticality occurs here. In the half-field case, in the Motness criticality occurs here, it's a mode transition, original mode transition. But I think that this is a mode transition in the doped case. And ITC cube plates may be here. So everything looks like similar. TC dome and non-film liquid. And okay, like this. So I think that my guess is the maybe this opium dope or high TC dome occurs in the Motness criticality. Okay. Okay. Conclusion. And I showed the experimental data on organics with half-field band case and doped case. And at low temperatures, you see the ability of the condensates. But at high temperatures, and everything. Seems similar, and quantum critical behavior is showed up. It's coupled, and in doped case, it's a quantum phase transition or sharp crossover occurs in the metallic state. It's I think that is the mode transitions in Hart of the mode physics. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you for that very nice review. There must be some questions. Let me start in the back here.
It went a little bit fast near the end. Could you just review what you mean by Motness in the doped case, and what is the evidence for a critical point?
Yeah. The experimental data on which the base of the experimental data is like the Hall coefficient. Okay. And please take a look at the low temperature data, the Hall coefficient is very sharp change. And this is a derivative of the inverse of the Hall coefficient, namely the charge compressibility, charge density compressibility. Shows a very clear, very sharp peak around 0.5 Kelvin, 0.5 GPa. Yeah. So in these regions, the carrier density is small, but this is large. So it's a clear change occurs, maybe reminiscent of the quantum phase transitions. It's a small carrier state, it's a large carrier state. Small. So this means that some critical change in carrier occurs. So maybe this is due to the critical change and double occupancy occurs. So that is the experimental data.
There's no magnetic here.
In this temperature range, no magnetic order. But it's a subtle problem because the carbon 30 NMR shows some broadening, but no clear change, for example, at a certain temperature does not occur. So I'm not sure about the no clear magnetic loading.
Just follow up on this point. So the whole evolution here looks very similar to the heavy fermion case, silicon two, and there it was analyzed the width of the crossover, and as a function of temperature, the width becomes smaller as temperature is lower.
I wanted to analyze and the data in such a manner, but if you can see the analyze the data and the manner you mentioned that. We should have the data in the negative pressure side because it's like this. Uh-huh. So we cannot determine the width in this data.
But at least it looks like it's sharpening as temperature.
Yeah, it looks sharpening. So, but this the slope is gradually sharpened. So there is a tendency similar to the ethereologium to silicon two. Yeah, your data.
So. Thank you for your talk. Also, basically, a follow-up question. At zero pressure on the phase diagram, you said there was on the graph, it showed there was an inhomogeneous state.
Yes.
What
do
you expect there?
In a superconducting transition, is inhomogeneous.
No, but I mean the whole green.
The bond fraction is less than 50%. This is AC susceptibility, so maybe much less than the full Meissner. And then even in animal, in the normal states, animal line are broadened, as I said. So I'm not sure about the nature of the inhomogeneity, but anyway, in the normal state, even in the normal state and in superconducting state, we have the encounter inhomogeneous state. But the animal line broadening occurs around 40 Kelvin. So in homogeneous states, maybe it's here, it's confined in this.
Is there any signature of pseudo gap in this just above the
this material? It's difficult to answer. So, and a pseudo gap behavior I mentioned now is at high temperatures, 1 over T1 is constant, and then maybe roughly at twice of TC, and the 1 over T1 is decreasing. But in this case, and the 1 over T1 is going up, and then decreasing. So, but this temperature dependence is quite different from the what we call the pseudo gap. But anyway, TC, 1 over T1T surely decreases well above TC, even in these materials. But 1 over T1T is increasing. So, I think that we should have in mind the triangular lattice nature in these materials. In half Hilbert case, there's no pseudo gap and triangular lattice, but it's a doped triangular lattice. So I'm not sure.
Question? This is really for clarification. So I think. Can you say definitively that your quantum critical point is separated from the antiferromagnetic transition in the system?
I know it's
an inhomogeneous state.
The latter material? Latter material?
The kappa ET4, yes.
This one, yeah.
Yes.
Doped case, yeah? Yes. This one,
I mean, it looks to me as if it is split off, but is that your sense, or is there a possibility that the antiferromagnetism spreads out to a larger pressure underneath the dome?
Yeah, or? No clear magnetic current here, but NMR line broadened, but no clear magnetic current here. Yeah.
And so in your opinion, it definitely, the magnetic dome collapses before you hit the quantum critical point, if it is a magnetic dome.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any quantum oscillations experiments in this material?
Not yet. My colleague and I are trying to do that, but the angular AMLO, you know, AMLO, angular dependent magnetic resistance oscillation are clearly observed. This reflects the Fermi surface topology, very cylindrical Fermi surface, which is consistent with the band structure characteristics of the tunnel lattice.
But can you go from the whole small to large and see that?
So?
Can you, as a function of pressure, can you see that?
Yeah. So, not yet.
Okay.
But the resistivity ratio is 200 to 300, so we should see the dwarfs from alpha oscillations. It's a residual resistivity ratio is very large, 200 to 300, yeah, in this case.
Small Fermi surface versus the large Fermi surface influence the superconducting state?
I don't know.
You don't have any experiment?
No experiment. So related to the previous questions, one of the ongoing experiments is to probe the Fermi surface by quantum oscillations in this region and this region. So, but not yet experimental support for.
Yeah, but for example, you could see at 1 over T1.
Yeah.
And see the presence of nodes or.
It's difficult because in this case, in this, I don't know the nature of this inhomogeneous state. So, but the experimental data is a 1 over T1 is larger in these regions. And it's a smaller in this region.
Uh-huh.
So monotone slowly decreases as a function of pressure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
For the undoped cases, you compared the ordered system and the disordered system. I was unclear as to what the conclusions one could draw from the fact that one could see the pressure temperature scaling in both cases so clearly. Is that, are there differences expected on the basis of theory between the two types of critical points?
Sorry, I'm sorry. I cannot answer.
You showed us that the
this one, in this region
that you had the nice scaling plots, pressure temperature in both cases.
Yeah, in both cases. Yeah.
And so, is that unexpected? Is that expected? Can one learn something from this fact?
That I expected that because the as I told in my talk that the so. Why not quantum criticality? It's just quantum, so critical endpoint is very, very low.
Yeah.
So in these regions, maybe the system should behave similarly, irrespectively of the critical point. System can forget about the low temperature states. So it's we expected it.
Yeah, perhaps it's a bit of a question of principle, I guess. So in cuprates or in heavy fermions, when you are in a metallic state, there's really no good evidence that you have a mod collapse in the sense that U is first larger than W and then smaller. So here you're claiming in this doped system that you know for sure that you have a mod collapse. How sure are you actually that, say, in an undoped version of it, you would have a metal insulator transition at the pressure of that you quote? So what is the hard evidence that there is a mod collapse happening in the doped system?
By mod collapse, what do you mean?
That U is first larger than W and then smaller than W. In the metallic state.
In the metallic.
That's what you're claiming, right? How sure are we?
Yeah.
That's the question.
I'm sure. But the data I have is that's all. Yeah. As I said, this is the
that solution. Is all the evidence, yeah. Right? But there could still be a different explanation
this is the,
in principle.
This is the, primary evidence, and then this is the additional evidence that the TC dome, and then it's a non-form
equilibrium. But it's not like that you can make this insulating or half-filled and then without changing anything else. Right? So the chemistry associated with the doping is of the kind that you cannot quite deduce directly from the half-filled state.
Mm-hmm.
But so at this point you would have a moment collapse.
You're saying that the doping can be controlled or not, you say?
Yeah, now the ideal case would be you have your undoped system that would undergo a mental insulator transition at this pressure, and then you dope it and there's changes, right? And you cannot quite make that case.
I want to do that, but the experiments are limited to this.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. We have time only for one more burning question. Go ahead.
Does this work? Okay.
Yeah.
So in the undoped case, you mentioned this quantum spin liquid versus the antiferromagnetic case. You established the lack of magnetic ordering in the the putative quantum spin liquid. Are there other signatures in at finite temperature of this that are observed besides the lack of magnetism in terms of excitations or characteristic scaling?
At high temperatures, the at high temperatures, the, for example, NMR relaxation rate look like similar between the antiferromagnetic molten state and the spin liquid molten state at high temperatures. But the difference appears at low temperatures.
Okay, let's thank Professor Konoda again for a very nice talk.